Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about a beautiful wedding between two beautiful people just fated to be together in their golden years.
Brought to you by Amazon. Scan the QR code to shop.
Nothing says true love quite like an Amazon wedding registry, which is why we've made one for the Love to See It podcast. And now you can shop all the products that we have chosen for our life together.
It's so beautiful. We are tastemakers. Just kidding. We are not raking in those Amazon big bucks unlike ABC yet. We're waiting, Amazon. I'll make a wedding registry. I'll marry Claire. It's fine.
We'll do it for money.
For all the money. But we are here today in the new year to discuss the golden wedding between Gary Turner and Teresa Nist. We did spend 2 hours.
2 hours of Amazon SponCon.
Truly, truly incredible. The lack of subtlety, just chef's kiss.
It's incredible how like Amazon has bachelor couples like in such a chokehold. Like every famous bachelor couple ends up doing some sort of like Amazon Live, or they're like, Amazon redid my living room. And Gary and Teresa just took it to another level.
Look, Amazon can do it all, Claire.
Yes, Amazon can do it all. It can produce live wedding specials. We always say, like, let us produce The Bachelor. No, Amazon is going to produce The Bachelor.
You know what? That actually kind of feels right in the, like, dystopian hellscape of a nation we live in. I'm like, that would be where this heads.
Yeah, not right, but correct.
Exactly.
Of course, this is happening. Yes.
Let's get into the actual content of this wedding special, which was both lovely and too long.
Yeah. When you said the actual content, I was like, was there actual content?
To be fair, there was in the final 40 minutes, Claire.
Yeah. How was this 2 hours long? I fully assumed it would be an hour long all month, just went about my business, I'm sure it'll be an hour long. And then I checked last night and it was 2 hours. I was like, what are they going to be doing with the time? And it turns out not much.
Not a lot of substance, but they did need 2 hours of Amazon ads.
Yeah.
And a lot of chaotic golden carpet reporting from Kathy Swartz.
I never have said this before, but this was a Bachelor show that could have been a People magazine spread. Like, it just didn't need to be. And as someone who loves weddings, even, I didn't particularly feel the need to watch them get married. I'd be happy to see their pictures in Us Weekly and be like, I'm so happy for them. But We were there. We were there when Kathy tried every single comic bit that she spitballed with producers in advance and maybe some that she didn't. And they fill up 2 hours somehow. So let's get started. We open with a classic Golden Bachelor move, a cold open. It's Gary and Teresa sitting by an outdoor fireplace at night, emotionally sharing their feelings. Gary and Teresa are talking about how they've always spoken to each other about how hard it is to go home to an empty house. And Teresa says, "This is the last night we'll do that. After this, we'll be going home to each other." And Gary weeps and he's like, "I love you more than I ever thought possible. I couldn't have found a better partner."
These two are such cornballs together. And you know what? Yeah. I love that for them.
They really are. They have that kind of like uninhibited, like all over each otherness that you only see, I think, in the very young and the older contingent. Because yeah. They're like, they lack the self-consciousness of like the 20 to 40 something brigade. They're like,
that's
who
such
cares?
A good point. They're also like, fuck it. Like, yeah. Let's do anything that we want. And that frankly is inspirational.
It's beautiful. And then upbeat music. It's now evening in California. Guests are filtering into La Quinta Resort and Club in Palm Springs.
Wow, La Quinta, the history this resort contains.
The history of a La Quinta resort. Jesse Palmer welcomes us and urges us to grab our tissues. It's going to be an emotional one. The camera pans around. We see that all of Teresa and Gary's closest friends are there. Kaylin, Tayshia, Joey, etc. You know, they're buds. They're pickleball
mates.
They're
best friends. I was relieved to see that there were at least some people who definitely were their actual friends and family.
Yeah. And Jesse has the honesty and the integrity to not try to be like, his closest friends are here, like Kaylin. He's like, Bachelor Nation stars are here. And yeah, that's what you guys really care about. And then later on, when you see crowd shots, it's hilarious how you'll see like on one side of the camera, a bunch of elderly couples who are clearly their actual friends. And then on the other side, it's like Caitlin Bristow ogling the camera while stuffing an hors d'oeuvre in her mouth and like a plunging neck satin dress.
It's truly, truly incredible. Yeah. I kept just spotting more people. I think they tried to get like every successful couple they still have, except for Becca and Thomas, who seem to have been like excommunicated.
Yeah, why?
From Bachelor Nation. I don't understand. I don't know, and I hate it.
Although I didn't see Ari either. Did Ari?
Oh, true. No, Ari and Lauren weren't there.
They're like, on second thought, let's memory hole everyone from that season, that ill-fated season. But yeah, I have to say, as time goes on, it's getting easier to have all the successful couples there because it's been a rough go for Bachelor Nation couples, as we'll get into next week.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry, everyone. People keep asking, when is our next news and gossip episode? It is coming next week, yeah. So you won't have to wait long.
And that could easily be over 2 hours, and I will have no apology. Jesse then reveals that his pregnant wife, Emily, could go into labor at any moment, and he tells her that he loves her and to please call him if there's any sign of movement so he can immediately leave. So they're really trying to make this a thing. They're like, what if Jesse Palmer has a baby during this wedding? He does not have a baby during the wedding.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, it's really only 2 hours. It's a 2-hour window. She would be unlikely to specifically go into labor at this exact moment. But they're playing it up. His pinch hitters, of course, would be our golden carpet correspondents, Charity Lawson and Kathy Swartz of Zip It fame, who are in like the black versions of a bridal gown and like mother of the bride gown. They're kind of sort of coordinated. They both have sort of faux sheer bodices. And Charity's is honestly one of my least favorite kinds of dress, which is like a boned corset with a satin skirt like wrapped around it. Like she's got a towel wrapped around her waist. I hate this kind of dress.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
She still looks beautiful, but I'm like, come on, do something better for Charity. They greet us. Kathy points out that she called Teresa's win in the house. And then she's like, who thought it would be a good idea to put a mic in my hand on live TV? And Charity says, not me.
Kathy is so chaotic. And Charity is such a, like, the consummate professional host that it is such a hilarious combination to me. Because Kathy is just, like, word vomiting all over the place. Saying things that could veer into like very uncomfortable territory. And Charity is just like, trying to play off her, but being like very calm, trying to ask the appropriate questions. It's, yeah. I enjoyed the dynamic.
Charity is like the straight man. Kathy is the gonzo one. I mean, it
chaos
reminded me
agent.
A little bit of like Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen doing New Year's Eve on CNN. Or honestly, Kathy being Don Lemon, getting really drunk and piercing his ear on live TV. RIP to that portion of New Year's Eve coverage. But yeah, Kathy really goes hard. And you can see that she, it's interesting how she like clearly has enough media training to be able to host a live TV special and kind of hit her marks and fill the gaps when no one's sure what to say. And yet at the same time, the seams are really showing where you're like, she's not really a professional host. Like she doesn't quite, she can't quite keep up with it, but that's part of what makes it fun to
watch.
That's
kind of part of the charm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah. I think it was a good decision. Ellen is also on the red carpet wearing the earrings that Gary gave her on their date. What a flex. Like you might have the man.
Girl.
I have these earrings.
Good for her. I'm so glad that Ellen got like a material prize from being on this show. She deserved that.
By the end of this season, I think I would rather have the earrings than Gary.
Same.
Although fortunately, Teresa does not feel the same way. Then we start getting some sort of pre-taped content. So we see a very staged like holiday dinner with Gary and Teresa and their families together. Gary is wearing a sweater with tinsel and bells on it. It looks like something you would order on Amazon, actually, to go to an ugly sweater party.
Yes. The holidays. 100%. Teresa even makes a comment. She's like, if I had rolled up in the limo and you were wearing this, I don't know if we'd be here right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what Bridget Jones thought. And then things ended up working out. My eyes honestly glazed over a little bit during this segment. But
well,
I'm very happy
for
them.
They won't stop glazing over for a while.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, good. The families get along. They're playing a game involving solo cups and large marshmallows.
It's cute.
That is confusing. And Gary asks Teresa's grandsons for their blessing. And one of them is like, we're just like children, which is
I loved that.
One of the best moments of the special. Gary's daughters teach Teresa to make cinnamon balls like their mom used to, which is very emotional for everyone. I was like, maybe Gary should learn how to make cinnamon balls like his late wife used to.
Oh, such a good point. I didn't even
like, why is that Teresa's
that he was like not involved. It's like, well, this has to be passed on to Teresa.
And he just like wanders over and he's like, smells like the holidays.
It is a very sweet moment, though, between his daughters and Teresa and Teresa's daughter. You know, I think you noted just the mix of, like, grief and joy in some of these rituals.
Yeah, I love that they made space for the daughters, Gary's daughters, to talk about how they wish their mom were still there making these holiday treats for them and how it should be her who's still there with them. And at the same time, they're also happy to see their father happy again, and they love Teresa and kind of them trying to process that mixture of emotions is honest in a way that I really like. I feel like there is a tendency to want to like hallmarkify it and be like, all I've thought about since my mom died is my dad finding love again. And like, who's my mom? She's not real. We never even cast her as an actress because she died before this movie started. You know what I mean? Like, I love that they like show some of the real like texture that this has for the kids.
Yeah, I agree. And you also just continue to get a sense, which is what I think we read during the show, which was just like this shared experience between Gary and Teresa is one of the big things that bonds them together. And there's like a shared language and ease there when talking about their late partners that like is there's no discomfort because they both have that experience and that language, and both of their families do. And so I would imagine that might make it easier to kind of process some of these things because you know that everyone else is also kind of in that space with you.
Yeah. And then things get weird. We go from this very like genuine like, seeming
honest
beautiful
moment
to the most disturbing moment of SpawnCon I can ever recall on a TV show because of the way that it's presented, as if it's just Teresa and her daughter casually having a conversation. And then there's a moment where it becomes jarringly clear that this was scripted to be an ad without any warning.
It is so stilted too. Teresa's like, oh yeah, my registry. And her daughter Jen says, oh, did you guys make a wedding registry?
And Teresa says, yes, on Amazon wedding registries.
And Jen responds with a very normal human comment, which is, I'm a huge Amazon fan.
Like, who's a what? Fan of Amazon? Like, if you actually are a fan of Amazon, I'm concerned. Like, there, what is there to be a fan? We use Amazon because it's very hard not to use Amazon.
Right. Amazon right? is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's very convenient.
Yeah, it delivers faster. It has most things, but it's also kind of like just a scam factory, like full of off brands you don't recognize, and lots of them are fake or don't work, and like,
and probably involve slave labor.
Right. And like, what is there to really be a fan of? So obviously, this is just a whole scripted conversation. It's abundantly clear. Neither of them are very good actors. But it's presented as if it's part of, like, not even a scripted piece of content, like a scripted TV show. It's like, this is just a mom and her daughter having a casual conversation in real life.
It was giving me very strong Truman Show vibes.
Yes. Yeah, it's like you think that real life is happening and really advertising is happening.
Exactly. It's like really giving me like Truman's wife, like pouring some milk and then turning directly to the camera and saying, I love Trader Joe's almond milk. It is more delicious with every sip. Like,
right. I'm like, just, we understand that advertising exists, but it feels so creepy. And like, do they think they're fooling anyone?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I actually, like, I think we all have accepted that they're going to produce a big wedding special. There's going to be sponsors. Like, of course, we accept that. This is TV.
And we work in the media. We understand. Yeah. We have ads. We understand how that works. It's fine.
Yes, that's totally fine. The weird thing is, like, living in this odd space that pretends that the audience doesn't understand it. And that's what makes it feel super dystopian to me.
Right. It's like we're all just sort of mindlessly receiving this and like, oh, she really loves Amazon wedding registries. When you could just make an ad.
She's you could just say, yeah, this wedding registry brought to you by Amazon. And then you could continue to have whatever QR code and be like, Gary and Teresa curated some products they love on Amazon. That's fine. You don't need to have her daughter being like, wow, mom, you made an Amazon wedding registry? I love Amazon. I have a poster of Jeff Bezos on my wall.
And then they go on like to have an even weirder conversation somehow where Gary and Teresa are like, remember how we had milkshakes on our first date, for example? We could register for a milkshake maker on Amazon because of that. And I'm like, I guess you could.
You could.
But it... Why? And also, like, that doesn't convince me in any way that I should use Amazon wedding registries. It just feels like they're coming up with, like, random footholds to keep talking about Amazon. And yet it's all deeply scripted.
I am scrolling through their Amazon registry right now. Oh, the coffee maker from Smeg that I own is on there. Great choice, guys.
They're very well. This is the other thing. I'm like, are Gary and Teresa tastemakers in some way? Do I want to? Because then what happens is that an ad comes up a little later that literally with a filter, like a visual filter, like hazy filter, clips this scene. And then it's like, Amazon wedding registries, shop for Gary and Teresa's pics with this QR code. And I'm like, do I want Gary and Teresa's pics? Like, I have no sense of them as people with taste, to be honest.
These are very basic picks, and I am almost certain they didn't actually curate this at all.
And if they did, it clearly was on the level of like, oh, we like milkshakes. How about a milkshake maker? And that doesn't make me feel like I need a milkshake maker. You know what I mean? They haven't made the case for me.
I haven't been convinced. I've seen much more effective advertising in my day. It's called Instagram.
Yeah. I also just don't understand why you would want to register on Amazon, to be like, I guess I understand for certain things, but the way that Amazon is lately, it's just flooded with knockoffs and fakes, and the quality is not consistent. Like, I feel like I would end up registering for dinner plates from a brand called like Ondel Sam, and they would turn out to be made of plastic. Like, that's kind of what Amazon is like right now. So why would I want my wedding registry stuff is supposed to last forever?
Yeah, I want to make sure the stuff is actually coming from the brand that I think I'm purchasing from.
Yeah. And maybe that it's like a recognizable quality brand instead of something that seems like the name was generated in order to not match an existing brand through some sort of AI.
You mean like this Dash Hot Popcorn Popper Maker, which is a normal name for a product?
Yeah, that sounds like something I have a lot of confidence in. If it's vetted by Gary
Popper Maker, it's both. Popper Maker.
Oh my God. Amazon, please advertise on our show. We love you. On that note, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more from the golden carpet. Can you keep up?
If you want to bring coziness into your life, and I mean, who doesn't, turn to Barefoot Dreams, especially right now, because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make the perfect gifts, too.
I would certainly love to be given something from Barefoot Dreams. I just acquired the robe, and it is like the softest robe I have ever put on my body. It's so cozy. It's so warm. It's beautiful. It has a nice drape and weight to it. I wear it whenever I have the opportunity. I just want to wear it constantly. And I think everyone should have that kind of comfort and coziness in their lives.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off of your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Sometimes there will be something that is just like nagging at me, bothering me about something in my life, and I just swirl it around and around and around in my head and don't quite know how to address it. And something that can really help me sort that through and like take action is therapy.
I completely agree. I've been really stressed lately because I've just been getting sick over and over again. And before I know it, I'm feeling a lot of emotions and I don't even connect where they're coming from with the actual origin. We all carry around these stressors, right? And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a great safe space to get things off of your chest and figure out how to actually work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list, as they should, because it's very important.
If that's you, then make this year the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Wow, that is really fast. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I personally used Babbel before I headed off to Paris for 3 weeks, and it was so helpful, just kind of giving me back the basic understanding of French, allowing me to interact with people in restaurants, in shops, and, you know, just not make a total fool of myself when in a foreign country.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we are back, and it's time to get back to our gal, Kathy, who is just out here interviewing some VIP guests, like Gary's daughters, Jenny and Angie, who are in...
I was very alarmed.
Okay. So Badgley Mishka was the costumer for all of the outfits, which, great brand. Lots of beautiful things.
Yes.
Yeah. Lots of beautiful dresses. These would not have been my choice for adult women.
Yeah, that felt a little bit like junior bridesmaid or like prom to me.
Yeah, I thought the color was very pretty. The color was beautiful. It was this like nice baby blue. I think it flattered all of them. But the gowns themselves have just so many ruffles, including, which I found to be deeply offensive, ruffles that are just on the side seam.
Yeah.
Why?
I would find that irritating.
Just taken those off completely.
They're very,
and it would really improve the dress.
Pleated, frilly, strapless dresses. Lots of frills, lots of pleats. Yeah, I can't even put my finger on exactly what bugged me about it, but the minute that they came on screen, I was sort of like, it's just, maybe it was because there were two of them also. I was like, it just, the effect is like so much pleating and frills.
It's very frilly and bridesmaidy.
I just imagine like being told this is my bridesmaid dress that I have to wear and being like, oh, okay, on national TV.
National TV, really? Okay. This one?
Okay. They do look beautiful.
They look beautiful.
Everyone
looks gorgeous. I just was like, they could have done better by them.
Yeah, I would have done a different dress. But they have a lovely conversation with Kathy. This was Kathy at the peak before she gets a little slap happy. Kathy says to Angie, I know you've been up all night crying because I'm not going to be your stepmother. She's like, I gave it my best shot. And they both laugh and laugh. I actually laughed at that.
Me too. Kathy and Susan really need their own show.
Oh, Susan was the star of the show. We're going to get to Susan.
I agree. We'll get to her. We also, bachelor weddings are so weird because the next person that Kathy interviews, and I use that term lightly, it wasn't quite an interview, is Leslie.
Yes.
Leslie's there, Faith is there, Ellen is there. All of these women who have fairly recently had their hearts just like stomped on by Gary are at this wedding.
Yeah. And I have to say that Leslie and Faith, to me, am I just projecting? They didn't seem that happy to be there. Like, they're smiling.
I think they were happy to be at the before and after parts, like with their friends. Like, they look really happy in all the photos that the women are posting.
Yeah, because
it seemed like they got to just go to La Quinta and like have a vacation and hang out. And that seems delightful.
Maybe Leslie just doesn't want to be on camera being told, we know you did not get the man of your dreams. You got your heart broken by Kathy.
So weird. Kathy's like, okay, Leslie, I'm sure you remember. You got your heart broken. You didn't get the man of your dreams. You were also recently in the hospital. Nice to see you. I was like, Jesus.
Any comment on all of that? And Leslie says, well, you know, I'm really good friends with Teresa. I'm so happy for them. We love it. It's great. And then Ben Higgins interrupts them to say he's a huge fan. And Leslie's I'm a huge fan. It seems very staged.
It was very staged, but also I was like, did they just send Ben Higgins in with the mic to run interference on Kathy? Like, what's going on?
I wonder how much they're able to like produce in real time in these quick interviews to be like, oh my God, this is going badly.
This is going off the rails. She's pointing out Leslie's heartbreak and subsequent health scare. Ben in.
Jesse then suggests that Ben has crashed the wedding, which is obviously not true. And then he says, literally anything could happen on live TV. And honestly, I don't think that's true. And this is the point where I was like, stop trying to convince me this is a thing I should want to watch. I don't understand why anyone would want to watch this unless they had to, which I did.
I was just like, I want to see the wedding.
Well, I think there is a certain element of like not even obligation, but just you're like, oh, I've invested in this couple. I watched the whole season. I'm not going to just not watch the wedding, but it's not like I'm excited. I'm almost like, oh, now they've assigned me a wedding to watch. You know, I would have been fine if they didn't do the wedding.
I agree. But I also would have been happy to watch the wedding just in a more like compact format.
Tidy little package.
Yeah. This is the point where we do get to see Caitlin just exhibiting the most relatable wedding guest behavior, which is just housing hors d'oeuvres they are passed around. You got to grab those. That's me at every wedding.
Oh, 100%.
You figure out where all of the cater waiters are coming from. You stand near that entrance and you just pick one off of every plate that goes by.
I chase them down. Either. I'm like, oh, do you have any more of those pigs in a blanket? Oh, you don't? When's a new plate coming out? Yeah. I'll be right here.
I also find that the best food at weddings is often during the cocktail hour.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's before. By the time you get to dinner, it's like people have been drinking. They just throw some troughs of food at you.
Exactly.
The hors d'oeuvres is where the catering companies really shine. So Charity and Kathy do some more golden carpet with the live wedding special couples who are there. Molly and Jason and Tristan Ryan reminisce about their live wedding specials.
We obviously cannot mention Ashley and JP.
Yeah.
Because they are now divorced.
Oh, so sad. But they then talk to Joey, and Charity extends her well wishes for his bachelor season.
I thought their rapport was actually really sweet. Charity and Joey. Like, she even says, you know, the last time people saw us together was on AFR, but we've, like, spent time together. Like, they just seem to have
have seen them in, like, a TikTok that their group of friends did at, like, a bar, I think.
Yeah.
And people were like, I can't believe they're all hanging out. It's like, well, I think Joey's maybe engaged to someone else by now.
Yeah, Joey's definitely engaged to someone else. Like, they can just both be like, we both did this crazy thing.
Yeah. And
there's just mutual
respect. And it is always really nice. I think something that can happen after a bachelorette season that has rarely happened after a bachelor season recently is that she was respectful enough of all of the men on the season that there's no bad blood. And then you can all just be like, we're friends. We went through this experience together.
Yeah. Like, there is an element of me that understands why all of these people can be in the same room. Because they're just like, what we went through was unnatural and weird. And there is a bond there. And also, with Charity, when you're the lead, once you get down to those final few people, those are the people that you really know. They're the ones you've spent time with. So, like, there is a base of friendship there.
Yeah. And I think Joey and Charity just both have really good vibes. And so it makes sense that they have good vibes together.
Joey's also wearing a great deep green suit. I'm such a crush on him.
I know. I can't believe it. I haven't had a crush on a bachelor in like a decade.
Like ever.
If ever. It's crazy. So now that I'm flustered, Kathy jokes that she would make Joey her son-in-law if her daughter weren't married to a wonderful man. And Joey is prepared for every comment like this for this evening. He says, I would be a lucky man if that were the case.
Good job, Joey.
And then we cut again to a little pre-taped content. Gary and Teresa are driving to La Quinta together in a vintage convertible, callback. And apparently this is from them planning the wedding with celebrity wedding planner Mindy Weiss.
Mindy Weiss is also the one who did Sean and Catherine's wedding, which where were Sean and Catherine?
Ooh.
They had a very splashy Mindy Weiss live wedding special. I mean, I'm sure some people just like didn't feel like traveling right after the holidays, but.
Yeah. I mean, if they had a falling out with the franchise, it was extremely recent because
I don't think they did.
Sean and Catherine fans around. No, yeah, it's probably just.
Mindy Weiss was probably like, Teresa, what are you feeling? Grown sexy?
I was a little disappointed that we didn't get a Teresa and Gary like catchphrase for their vision for it's really just them kind of like looking at some place settings and floral arrangements and Teresa being like, oh, I love that. And I'm like, what do you love about it? Is it that it's grown? Is it that it's sexy? Are you going for like sensual elegance? Are you going for whimsical, you know, navel inspired? Like, what is your idea here? And she never really articulates her thesis of the wedding.
It seems to just be floral with golden accents.
Like, fair enough. My wedding was sort of similar, but no one was doing a live wedding special of my wedding planning.
Exactly.
So I felt like she could have
given a responsibility
more.
Here, okay? But we do get a reminder that, you know, Teresa's first wedding, she was like a teenager.
Yeah, and her fiancé was going to Vietnam,
right?
I think. So she only had 2 days' notice before her wedding.
She said they got married in a basement. She's never really had a proper wedding that is like carefully planned. And also this is a very luxurious one because everything is sponsored.
Yes. Yes. It's funny because her first wedding was not perceived as normal in the way that we talk about weddings now, but it's actually probably more normal than the kind of wedding that she is now planning, which is extremely expensive. Gary is a classic groom. He just wants Teresa to choose everything except the cake, but Teresa is like deeply touched by this, that he wants her to have everything. And I'm like, Teresa, this is like the most stereotypical male thing to be like, I don't know, just pick what you want.
It's all about her.
I do want to pick the cake. Like, it better be chocolate. With chocolate frosting or something. And so after they have this moment with Mindy Weiss, we head back to La Quinta in the golden carpet.
It's time for us all to get a pep talk from Natasha, who truly will take any opportunity to remind us that she is a life coach.
Yeah. She's selling her wares like so many people and companies involved in this special.
You have to respect it. She and Ellen are both in very beautiful burgundy velvet dresses.
Yes.
She looked fantastic.
And Jesse mentions that she's a seating aficionado. She was the one who wanted chairs at the rose ceremonies, which I still strongly support. And she's like, yes, the seats here are very comfortable. They're great. Can't wait to get my
butt
in
one of those. She's like, they have cushions on them.
And then she looks right into the camera. She's like, "What is this camera on me? Like, get a camera on me." She looks into the camera and she's like, all of you sitting on your butts at home, get out there, make it happen, get love in your life, find some. And I'm like, okay, I have no choice. I have to go out and find love. I'm sorry to my family. But I've heard the clarion
Natasha
call of
you.
Natasha. She, listen, I do what she says. She is mother. She is Mother God. I'm sorry. I've been watching cult documentaries.
Oh, no.
Yes, I found it very inspiring. And also I was like, wait, no, I can't do that. I have to stay here.
I have to keep my butt right on this couch because this is my job, Natasha.
And after some more Golden Bachelorette check-ins with more ladies who are just so happy for and inspired by Gary and Teresa, we then go back to the wedding planning footage. Teresa and Gary are going dress and wedding band shopping, respectively. So Teresa's off to Badgley Mishka to shop for wedding dresses with her daughter, her daughter-in-law, her future stepdaughters, and with Kathy and Susan.
I was like, why is Kathy there?
Well, this is the thing that I think the wedding special, I don't know if they were doing this on purpose or if it just is a real reflection of reality. It seemed like they were very much like, she and Kathy are fine now. They're actually best friends. And I'm like, maybe they are best friends. I don't know, but
maybe. I mean, I think all of the women are actually on good terms and are all friends. I found it odd that they were like, Kathy's actually the closest one to Teresa.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. Like, but I also know that like a lot can be changed in the editing, and I wonder if they gave Teresa a much different edit because the focus of her time on the show ended up being her romance with Gary and also the fact that that ruffled some feathers in the house rather than her like relationships with the other women in a more positive sense.
Yeah, like we learned after that she was also best friends with Leslie. Like she told the New York Times that and Leslie echoed that. And I was like, oh, we really didn't see that much of that friendship. But yeah, I think you're right. Obviously a lot can change in the edit. And also I assume that like a lot of drama that we see on these shows, the Zip It thing was not as big of a deal, probably, to all of them as it felt, because it was the only drama we got all season.
Yeah.
It's probably something they like moved past pretty quickly.
I mean, even at the Women Tell All, Kathy was we've moved on. It's over. Yeah. And it is the kind of fight you can envision having with a friend.
Yes, that's actually very true. That's a good point. It's like you're spending so much time together that one of you just gets fucking annoyed with the other.
Yeah.
And then you move on because you actually like each other.
Yeah.
I also think that they just really wanted an opportunity for Teresa and Kathy to make a Zip It joke.
And they were like, what if Kathy came to the wedding dress shopping and then Teresa comes out in a half zip dress and she says, Kathy, I need some help because I just can't zip it.
They all laugh.
And then Kathy says, today I would be happy to zip it for Teresa.
It's a cute moment, but very staged.
Yeah. No, that is like the weird thing about a live show like this is that they're able to kind of, and they're, I think, nervous that they won't have good content because it all has to be live and there's no really clear way to fill that time and with stakes and like entertainment. So they want things to be scripted enough that they can guarantee there'll be like some jokes and excitement, but then it ends up feeling really awkward that something is supposed to be both live and spontaneous and also it's clearly scripted. So this is one of those moments, but it was they made it happen. It was
they
cute.
Really did.
Gary is picking out a wedding band with Neil Lane and like the display of rings that Neil has for Gary to choose from.
Oh my God.
Wild. There's one with like a giant round green emerald embedded in it. I was like, please, Gary, pick the one with the giant green stone. I beg of you. But no, he picked
one.
He did
not.
Has meteorite embedded in it. And I have to say, Gary is the guy that like K jeweler ads are directed at because Neil Lane pulls out this ring. He's like, the texture in this is actually meteorite. And I think it would be so meaningful because you and Teresa, like your love is written in the stars. And Gary was like, yes, that's
Gary's
the
like,
one
wow,
because our
yes.
love is
oh
written
my God.
In the
it's perfect. Thank you.
You can just see him
it's
like
so
next,
meaningful.
Next anniversary, he's going to be watching TV. He's going to be like, an open heart because our hearts are open to each other. Yes, that's the one. That's what's going to be in the little velvet box.
Oh, God. I feel like Teresa has far more discerning taste than Gary. So she's going to have to give him some guidance on presents, I think.
Yeah, maybe she.
Teresa likes nice things and has good style.
She'll be like, Gary, I don't need a present. Just no presents, but your presents. Yeah. Thank you.
At one point during this, I forget which like pre-tape segment, but Teresa is wearing an incredible outfit, like a gray sweater with black leather trousers.
Yeah, she
really
always
good.
Has very
great outfit.
Fashion-forward outfits on. After the shopping, they get a coffee with Susan and just reminisce about the wonderful relationships they all have from the show and how Susan once comforted Gary during a tough rose ceremony by like patting her heart as she looked at him and how much that comforted him, which I actually made me very choked up because it was so sweet.
It was really sweet. I love Susan.
She's amazing. And Gary says, you know, we all have this amazing bond from the show. People don't understand that we're really all like family. And then they ask Susan to be their officiant, which she
great
is.
Great move.
An officiant. And she, yeah, who could be better? If I knew Susan, I would have asked her to be my officiant.
Same. She's fantastic.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the rest of the Golden Wedding.
Can you keep up? I like, love it.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some pretty delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, hi Tyler Cameron, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
Plus, they're dedicated to really thoughtful craftsmanship that honestly stands the test of time and looks good doing it.
Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. Plus, they won't leave you waiting around. You pick the delivery time and they'll send you updates every step of the way.
I have long been an Article girly, like every room of my house. My apartment, you can see Article furniture in. Most recently, we updated our balcony, you know, just in time. It's finally balcony season again, finally warming up in New York. And I have been out there with my coffee, sitting in the Toady Beach Sand dining chair, which is a great little lounger for a small space, again, New York City apartment. And it just really like elevates our deck. That and the ottoman we bought to go with it. So comfortable, so chic. Also can withstand a whole lot of rain.
So important. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
They're having their Memorial Day sale from May 13th to May 27th, which would be the perfect time to use your store credit on top of sale prices.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. And we are back. And it's time. It's time for our Brayden segment.
Oh, my God.
It's time.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, Brayden
I'm emotionally preparing.
Brayden is on the golden carpet wearing giant peacock feather dream catcher earrings, which, as much as I appreciate his style choices, I'm like, dream catchers? Like,
I know. I had the same thought. Ugh. I was like, I even can appreciate the two-tiered. And at first, I actually couldn't tell what the thing above the peacock feather was. And then I was like, oh, God, it's a dream catcher, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's very, like, Urban Brayden. Outfitters, like, offensive cultural appropriation style earrings. But, you know.
Brayden.
Brayden likes to push the envelope.
I wasn't mad at the peacock feather because it did coordinate nicely with his green suit. I'm like, green suits, in for men.
And we got Joey, we got Brayden.
And with Christina, his new girlfriend, Christina Mandrell, who was on Zach's season. She was like an early season villain and also got the first one-on-one date and ended up going home pretty early. Brayden and Christina, of course, started dating after he was on Bachelor in Paradise. They are now very hot and heavy, and they are together on the golden carpet. She is in like a very early aughts cord dress. It's sort of
I hated this dress so much. I don't like early aughts fashion.
I'm really mad it's that it's
horrible.
Back.
It's horrible, and we lived through it, and it was awful then, and I don't want it again. Yeah. And this dress also, it had really odd color blocking. I just didn't.
It was like Christina, sort of a Christina's tie, gorgeous. Modeled or tie-dye yeah. effect with in similar colors, color palette to what Brayden was wearing. Honestly, like I felt like if I crossed my eyes a little bit and my vision went blurry, it was like looking at an old red carpet photo of like Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera or something.
It was bad. It was very bad. And I'm upset that this stuff has come back around because it's not good. They're going to look back and feel how we felt and be like, why did I do this?
I agree. And that's a lesson that they have to learn for themselves. They talk about their relationship. Brayden says that she slid in his DMs. They started FaceTiming every night for hours.
I respect that. Go Christina.
And he made a Tenacious D reference in one of their conversations.
My God. Also, I was dead that Brayden thinks this is such like an alternative thing to be into that he turns to Jesse and he's like, have you heard of Tenacious D? And
yeah,
Jesse's like,
fucking yeah. heard of Tenacious D, man.
I was like, is this because Brayden's 24? He yeah. thinks like Tenacious D is like this vintage thing to be into. Jesse's like, yeah, man, I know Tenacious D.
It's like literally the band of a famous celebrity.
Yeah, like that is Jack Black's band. Like, I am not a music person, and I know that. And I went to music festivals in like middle school and early high school that literally Tenacious D played at like yeah. all rock festivals. Like that, they were on the circuit.
Yeah. No, they're out there. And Christina noted the reference and he was so impressed. But he was also like, what do you even know about Tenacious D? And she's like, I know I have tickets to a show next week.
That honestly, that is kind of shocking to me.
That part was shocking. I was like, Tenacious D is touring right now? Like,
yeah, I had no idea. I guess I'm not up on my Tenacious D news.
We would never have made it with Brayden because this is what really sells him on Christina. Jesse, you know, jokes with them about their shared earring collection. And then he asks, what's next for the two of them? And what's next is that Brayden is moving to Tennessee. And he has something else planned as well. And then he hands both of their mics to Jesse. And yet we can hear them perfectly, almost as if they don't need those mics at all. And maybe they're mic'd. I don't know what's happening. But I think we have a clip of what he has to say.
From the moment that you picked me up in the airport with your crazy ass rose and your fake disguise, I just knew that there was something special and there was something different. And then I got to spend time with you and I got to spend time with Blakely. I got to spend time and show you and introduce you to my family. And for the first time in my life, I feel like I found someone that I can be myself with unapologetically. And I have no doubts that I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And like Gary said, it's like, you know, we have such little time. And Teresa, they're the biggest inspiration. But I know that I want to spend the rest of my days with you. And so Christina Mandrell.
He proposes.
I was shaking. I was screaming at the television, like, no, no, what? No, no, no. At a wedding? I mean, look, obviously, this is not just a wedding. It is a TV special. Obviously, Gary and Teresa knew this was going to happen.
And in fact, after the commercial break, Jesse clarifies that he called them to ask for permission, anticipating, I think, that people were going to be like, I can't believe he proposed at a wedding. It's like, don't worry, they cleared it.
Production is so desperate to have a success story that's even tangentially because of Bachelor in Paradise 9.
And then Jesse says, wow, congratulations. And what a Neil Lane sparkler. And I was like, oh, okay, so it's another ad. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure Brayden was like, I will do that. Like, free ring? Yes. We'll take it. We'll take the free ring. I was like, how long have these two been together? I guess a long time in Bachelor world.
I mean, but no, because they've been long distance. You know, it's not like they've been on the beaches of paradise. Which is, by the way, still an insane time frame to get engaged in. Look at what happened to every couple that got engaged this season.
Yeah, I was like, you don't have to do this. That's actually the benefit of getting together outside of the show.
They are very much the kind of people, though, who I think the show is made for. They're, like, spontaneous. They, like, risky, like, you know, adrenaline pumping sort of moves. And they never really got to explore that to the fullest on the show because they didn't, you know, make it as far.
They do seem really cute together. Like, I think these two are a good match. I was just like, why? And also, okay. Also, if I was Christina, I'd be annoyed because it's such a rushed moment. It's not about them because they're at someone else's wedding.
Yeah.
It's just like her daughter's not there. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I guess honestly, I probably wouldn't feel the need for my child to be there when I got engaged, but I would want it to be personal. I guess everyone's different.
That's true. That's true.
I wonder how she felt because she just looked annoyed. But I also was like, is she just playing up that like a certain like role in this? Because
I think she was like surprised. I mean, she something that I did enjoy is that she says, is this why we got our nails done? And I was like, obviously they get manicures together. I love this.
Yeah. I mean, even then I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that she didn't know.
Oh, you think she knew? Maybe.
I mean, the show does have a history of like pushing guys to surprise propose to women on air. Yeah, that's why she doesn't need to know for them to do this. So I guess it would make sense for them to not involve her, right?
I kind of think she didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. As this moment unfolded, looking at what they were wearing, like the vibe of the whole interaction.
Oh my God.
The way, like, it was just like sort of a tacky move, but like they're having fun, right? They're fun, they're carefree, they're wild. And I was like, wow, I really feel like I'm looking at a wildest red carpet moments of the early aughts slideshow. Like, remember when this like crazy couple got engaged on the red carpet? Did you even remember they were together at all? Like, that's the thing that gives me a bad vibe. I'm like, this is not the kind of thing that ends well, oh to me, God, like this to me ends either very soon or very badly. I hope I'm wrong. I think they are well matched in a certain way, but I almost wonder if they're so much crazy in one couple. Like, they're both just out there people.
I guess we will see when Brayden moves to Nashville.
Yeah, I wish them the best. I think they both, you know, came off very badly on their seasons, but I think they are. I don't think that means they're bad people. And I think that I enjoy that they're both chaotic in this way. That Same. Is great to have on the show. But I'm like, that's a lot of chaos in one home. We'll see.
We'll see. Oh, I wish them the best.
Yeah.
This entire special was extreme chaos.
Yeah.
And then we cut to another pre-taped segment.
Oh, God.
This time it's Teresa's bachelorette party, conveniently attended only by Susan, Sandra, Ellen, and Faith.
Yeah, not none of her like sisters,
none of her actual friends or family.
Also, I mean, these are her actual friends. Kathy isn't here for this one.
Yeah, Kathy's only there for wedding dress shopping and not for the bachelorette party. It's just like so transparent.
And Leslie's not there. Yeah, I'm like, who's I? Mm.
It's like these were the women who were able to fly in time to tape this segment because it's clearly being taped at La Quinta. Like, they all got there early.
Yeah. Susan sits down as they all come in and opens her mouth and utters the most chilling statement. It's like that moment where you turn to your partner who you thought was like the last person who had not been bitten by a zombie. And there's something different about their face. And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You too?
She says, Teresa, we bought you something and we're very excited for you to have it. It's from your Amazon wedding registry. I was like, Susan, yeah. No.
Jump scare. No. Teresa unwraps the box, and obviously it is an Amazon delivery box.
Which to me is just like when you're really last minute doing your holiday present wrapping and then your child like opens it and you're like, yeah, I didn't take it out of the delivery box. It's not a good look. And inside this Amazon delivery box are champagne flutes. So Faith toasts to everything working out just the way it should.
They're really doing a lot to be like, Faith is fine. Ellen is fine. Leslie is fine.
Everyone's fine. So get off our backs. Teresa has planned something so fun for the ladies, boudoir sessions with a photographer, because she was so empowered by stepping out in her birthday suit, which I'm like kind of over this, honestly. I'm like, Teresa, you are wearing a dress and yeah, you got to choose to wear that dress. Like, it wasn't, you weren't
this
naked.
This made me feel so mixed because on the one hand, like, it was cool to see these women being given the space to be, like, sexy and own that. And all of the photos were really beautiful. Like, they clearly hired a great photographer and gave them a lot of options for, you know, outfits to wear. And at the same time, I was like, you can't spring this on people. Like,
yeah.
It's on national TV. What if they don't want to do this?
Like, Ellen seemed like she wanted to run. I mean, that is what the show does.
I related to Ellen so deeply, where she just starts to look a little green and she's like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, normally a boudoir shoot is something that you do just you and the photographer. Like, it's an intimate thing.
I didn't think of it as a friend thing. I do think this is something the show would usually do as like a group date.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of group date that I already sort of hate. But there is something too about them all thinking they were safe from, like, we're beyond that point in the show.
Exactly.
And then it's like, surprise. At this bachelorette party, you'll all be wearing bikinis and riding on tractors through the city. Like, come on. So they do.
Teresa
all
also
get
into is just
it.
Like, well, I wanted to do this.
Right. That's the thing. She's like, I feel empowered by this.
They all look gorgeous. And the photos, again, are really nice.
And I am torn because, yeah, it's great to, you know, we can all be sexy at any age and et cetera. But also I'm sort of like, when do women get to be free from like having so much of our, like, our empowerment and our personality and our value being located in how sexy we are?
Yeah.
Like, I was just a little bit like, now the whole, like, the show is about them being sexy. let them have a break. I don't know. I was torn about it. Maybe I would feel differently if I were in my 70s and I have a different perspective on it as a 30-something woman. So the women have fun with their shoots. Teresa taking hers is like, Gary's going to explode when he sees these photos. And I was like, guys, like, I don't need to hear this.
Did we need the word explode in there?
Sandra says she's going to pretend the photographer is Denzel. She's like, I have
Sandra's
many X-rated thoughts
up
on my mind about Denzel. Would you like to hear them? And then she shares them, but they're all bleeped. She's taking pictures with like a pole and she's like, that is his bleep I'm rubbing. Thank you,
Let your imagination wander.
After this, Susan proposes a game of Never Have I Ever and says she's never had a lap dance, and in come 4 Chippendales to dance for them on cue.
I was like, Susan, you nailed this, this cue. This.
It was perfect. It was also amazing that they got an in the moment from one of the Chippendales, which I was like, I really feel like if it were women dancers, they would not bother to ask them what they thought about the men. But I appreciated hearing from one of the Chippendales. He was like, this is the best group of 70-year-olds I've ever met. They're having fun. One of them played my butt like a drum. Everyone's having a great time.
Faith made me laugh so hard. She like turns the camera. She's like, you know, rock hard abs, tight butt. And then she pauses and says, I sound like a predator, don't I? I was like, thank you for your self-awareness.
Again,
I actually laughed out loud.
It is this weird thing where like the show is constantly sexualizing women. And yet at the same time, when they do decide to reverse the gender roles in that way, they feel this lack of inhibition about it because it's like, it's unexpected to be like, oh yeah, we can just have strippers come dance for Teresa and her friends and they can like touch their abs. And then they have to like come back around and be like, this is a little weird.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird. They're trying to like, they're like, is it weird that we're doing this? No, it's fine. It's a little weird, but it's fine. Teresa's like, I get to touch abs because Gary dated 22 of my friends and it's fine. Back at the venue, Sandra is there with her date, Shylon, a bearded Chippendale in a jacket and tie, but no shirt. And she also introduces his 6 abs. Women can also objectify men. And that is the message of
the show. True equality.
Susan's gifting line is repurposed into another actual ad spot with the QR code.
I know.
Yeah. It's now an hour into the show.
It's finally maybe almost time for the actual wedding to start. At this point, I was really fading. I was like, guys, we got to get to the wedding.
Yeah.
I didn't need any of this. I want the wedding.
Yeah. And we're still kind of doing like hijinks, like Kathy pretending that she's stealing Dotton from Charity and Jesse being like, that's live TV. For like every 15 minutes, he's got to be like, live TV, am I right? And I'm like, if it were that interesting, you wouldn't have to say that. And
did you notice that Faith is clearly annoyed by the way that they edited her talking about her land and her dead horse that is buried on her land?
Yeah.
Kathy makes a joke. She's like, so you said you didn't want to move, but like, would you move for the right guy? And Faith is like, yes, I would move tomorrow. Also, it's not really what I said. It's not exactly how I, it's not really what I said.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so they edited it.
I mean, yeah, I do think that like there is a weird thing that starts to emerge in this show that is like the women being like, to not being single next year, like move for a man, I do it tomorrow, where it starts to become almost this like very, I think because the show feels so boundary breaking in a lot of ways, it's almost like surprising at times to see like, oh, we're just falling into the actually very a conventional idea that these women can't be single in order to be happy.
Yeah, I was like,
happy.
I don't know. They all actually seem to be fabulous and living really cool lives and also now get all of these fun opportunities. Like, seems great.
Yeah,
also,
and I want them to find love if they want that, but it becomes this sort of like, let's all have boyfriends soon sort of thing.
Yes, like, it actually kind of bothered me that Kathy kept saying, like, to not being single, like we have to get out of this stage. And it's like, well, but what if this stage is also worthwhile? And I don't know. It was a little, felt mixed about it. So we then look back at the night before Gary and Teresa's wedding.
Yeah.
Call back to that cold open.
Yeah. It's basically that scene. Teresa says she would marry him in a basement. And then we have a couple in the moments from them. Teresa says that that night she won't just have Gary on her mind, but Billy. Before he died, he asked her if she would get married again. And she says, Billy, I'm getting married again. She thinks he would be so happy. Gary says in his that he's putting away things from the past and looking to the future. So I don't think he got the memo on how the direction they were going in those in the moments. Tony, never heard of her. And then they just keep making out and talking about how lucky they are. And then it's finally beginning. Gary is walking down the aisle to where Susan is standing. The grandkids walk down the aisle, including one of them is the ring bearer. Gary's daughter is Teresa's daughter, and I believe her daughter-in-law.
Yes.
And then commercial break.
I was screaming at this point. I was like, no, 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 no more fucking breaks. I want to see the thing.
Incredible.
And finally, blessedly, we come back and it's time for the real star of the night to have her moment. And that, of course, is Susan.
Susan.
Just incredible.
An absolute star.
I believe we have a clip of some of what she says to kick off the wedding ceremony.
For those of you who don't know me, I just don't know why. I mean, I'm Susan, the shy, quiet one on the show. Teresa and I met when she walked through the Bachelor Mansion door in her birthday suit. Gary and I met when I stepped out of the limo screaming, Gary, I'm gonna marry you. Turns out I was right.
So good.
She really rises to this moment. I was riveted. She then says that if someone had told her 5 years ago she would be officiating the first ever Golden Bachelor wedding and he wasn't picking her, she would have said, yeah, sounds about right.
It was so good. It was the perfect mix of sweet, self-deprecating, establishing her relationship to the couple. Like, these are actually the things that you want from a wedding officiant. Like,
yeah,
making some jokes, lightening the mood, positioning who they are to this couple. And then also being earnest, which she then does next. And she talks about watching Gary and Teresa fall deeply in love and how great they are for each other. She talks about how fate brought them together to be on The Golden Bachelor. She's like, 33,000 people and the two of you were selected. It was just, it was very sweet.
It is very interesting, as you were saying that, I was thinking about how weddings today, like for a lot of us, are not religious. And what's kind of replaced that is the sense of almost putting on a show. Like, you're putting on like a little, like almost like a skit about your relationship for your friends. Because like when I used to go to weddings, they would be like Catholic weddings. It would just be a mass and then there would be vows. You know, it wasn't really entertaining.
Right, if you're doing
and it would
secular
be really long.
Oh, luckily, traditional Jewish weddings. Real snappy.
Yeah, and I've been to a couple of those as well. Yeah. They're definitely shorter than the Catholic ones. But yeah, this sort of more secularized wedding, even if there is a religious component today, there is much more of a sense that's like, you and your officiant should like give us something to entertain us while we're sitting here watching you get married. And even more so, right, when she's actually starring on a TV show about a wedding. And so she really is perfect for that role. But it just made me think about, like, the changing nature of what a wedding officiant is.
It's a good point.
Susan then introduces Gary's daughters to share some thoughts. Like, basically, I guess they just wanted to show the wedding toast. So they do them in lieu of, like, a reading during the ceremony. They both talk about their dad and what a good person he is and how much they wanted him to be happy. They thank Teresa and say how much she loves their dad, how excited they are for her to join the family. By now, Gary and Teresa are both weeping.
Oh,
and
then
Teresa's daughter, Jen, comes up and says, this feels surreal, but also like fate. She knows Tony and her dad are also supporting this, just like the rest of their families.
Sweet.
And she asks Gary to take care of her best friend since birth. And she tells her mom to put him first. Everyone is crying even harder now.
It's really sweet to see the daughters.
Yeah. I found it very emotional to watch Jen this episode.
Me too.
As someone who like shares an experience with me of having lost a parent, but also who had some experiences that I didn't have around weddings. Her mom was very involved in her wedding and now she gets to be involved in her mom's wedding. And the nature of that relationship is just different than I have with my dad. And so it was very, it was very sweet and affecting to me to watch it.
No.
And
I
now,
loved it.
Yeah, I know. I love the kids. And now it's time for them to read their vows. Oh my God, what a block of text I have written here. And it's not
really
everything.
Transcribed.
I left out a lot of Teresa's jokes. So sorry to Teresa. There are a lot of jokes in her vows. And she tells Gary she was open to meeting the man of her dreams on the show, but she never expected it to happen. She says that when they met, she started to have a feeling like she'd known him all her life. And she pulled him in for a kiss as if to say, goodbye, darling. I'll see you later when you get home. She says she always thought that we should all have like a soundtrack playing throughout our lives. And then their first date ended in a flash mob. And at that moment, she started to believe there could be something between them. And she witnessed him being the most wonderful, kind, sensitive human being, a man of honor and integrity, Leslie. She grew to love him. They have so much fun together. They laugh until they cry. I've been told to zip it several times. She promises to be as calm in the storm, comfort him when he's sad, et cetera, et cetera, and enjoy the rest of the time they have left on this earth, which could be another hour. Always true. And then Gary, my God, Gary, I had to abridge his even more because they were so long and so emotional and so florid and sentimental. He says that he knows the hand of God and the winds of fate have ordained this moment. He learned.
I was like, whoa, intense start, Gare.
He learned on their journey that she's the woman he can't live without. He learned she makes him calm with the touch of her hand. She's strong and independent. She makes him a better man with her sensitivity and soft voice. He promises that if she's his partner in life, he'll make her the happiest woman on earth. He'll choose her every day as the one he loves and never take her heart for granted. He'll shout the I love yous by day and whisper them at night. He'll make her comforted at difficult times and abundantly joyful in great times. He promises to keep track of her reading glasses. He says that it wasn't his ears she whispered her I love yous in, but his soul. It wasn't his
How
lips.
How does that?
He wasn't his lips she kissed to lick off the cupcake frosting, but his soul.
Soul. How do you kiss a soul? I have questions.
I just have to say that for a moment, I thought that sentence was headed in another direction. She's the love.
He's like, you know, the thing I nicknamed my soul.
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
She's the love that came silently and without warning.
I feel like there actually was a lot of warning because he was on a TV show.
Yeah, she was like the first person he went on a date with. But I think that this...
It was very sweet.
Yeah, I think he's just getting poetical, you know?
Yeah. Also, towards the end of this, they do something that I found to be so obnoxious, which is that they just zoom right in on Leslie and like linger there as he's telling Teresa she's like the one. It's just, I was like, you didn't need to do that to her.
Yeah.
Like, leave her alone. Just let her be there. She's already there. She showed up for you. Like, stop.
Yeah, it was sad. Because so much of his vows, I don't want to, you know, read this in a negative way at this point. Like, they have their own relationship. It's been a long time since the other ones ended. It's very common to say something like, I'll choose you every day. But the show just can't let go of the fact that, like, that's a very painful thing for Leslie to hear, and that makes it hard to watch. Grandson Henry brings up the rings. They all struggle to remove them from the cushion. As he leaves, Teresa's like, great job, I love you. Such a grandma.
It's really cute.
They finally get the rings untied, and Susan leads them in exchanging the rings and the vows. She pronounces them husband and wife. Teresa like cries out in ecstasy. And they kiss and embrace. And they're married. They walk back down the aisle, tear-stained. They seem a little befuddled, like they've just had this really intense emotional experience. And now they're like walking back down the aisle, forever changed. They're like, how did we get here?
And the cameras are still rolling because it is time for the reception. Not really, but okay.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry, you're invited to the reception this time. And I wrote, God, please release me.
Also, I was like, there are 6 minutes left. Yeah, there was.
I didn't realize how little time there was left because I was watching a little bit delayed anyway. And I was like, oh my God, how much reception do I have to watch? Not much.
Not a lot. Really, not a lot. At the reception, Jesse is on the mic with Joey because that's the traditional beginning of any reception. Is you're like, I need to talk with this other guy about how he's going to find love.
Yeah. Well, this is a bachelor wedding and they're always looking to the next thing. They're like, how lucky would you be if you were the next bachelor to get married? And he's like, I sure would be a lucky guy if that were the case. And I'm like, Joey, you have that sentence written on your hand, don't you?
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to keep saying, yep, I'm so lucky. Kathy interviews Zach and Katie, who she introduces as one of Bachelor Nation's favorite couples. And you and I both noted this as like, that's generous, Kathy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would describe them as one of their remaining couples.
Yeah, they are still together and we love that.
They're one of my top 15 favorite Bachelor Nation couples currently together. Katie does look stunning.
Stunning. I loved her dress and I love her darker hair.
Yeah, she looks fantastic.
It's really nice.
Zach is also there. Kathy makes a confusing comment about how Katie is allergic to cats, and so she's going to give them kittens as a wedding gift.
I'm like, didn't it's time get to this. Cut
Kathy.
Yeah.
like what's Kathy, the joke? You're done. I'm going to send you into anaphylactic shock. Like, I feel like this was
Katie
like.
Katie looks deeply confused. She's like, yeah.
Because I feel like there's something here that if extensively workshopped could become a joke, but it's just like, you're allergic to cats, right? I'm going to give you cats. Like, that's not a joke. It's like a threat. Physical assault.
It literally is. And she's like, kittens. So many kittens.
Katie's like, okay. Why would you say that to me? Dotton then wanders over and is like, oh, while I'm here, Charity and I are getting married in the fall of 2025.
I was like, are they getting married in New York City? Because that is the kind of lead time you need on a venue.
Oh, yeah. No, you gotta. I definitely took a year and a half at least to plan my wedding. I guess that means they set a date. Sometimes bachelor couples will do this thing where they like set a season and then they don't actually set a date or start.
And then they reserve the right to like break up by then and no one will remember.
It just seems like a kind of, at this point, it starts to seem like a fake piece of like exclusive news you can drop because so many bachelor couples will be like, oh yeah, we're getting married next spring. And then they just don't get married next spring. And it's like, were they ever planning a wedding? And then it's time for dancing. Ben and Leslie, flanked by Michelle and Caitlin, kick off the dancing to, of course, Lil Boothang.
Obviously, there are two songs in Golden Bachelor, and we get both of those songs.
Yeah. The other one is Don't Stop Believin', and we're going to hear it soon. We check in with Kathy about the bouquet toss. She is determined to catch it, of course, because as we know, she will not be single for another calendar year. She refuses. But first, of course, Jesse has to introduce for the first time as husband and wife, Gary and Teresa, because we can't have a bouquet toss without the bride. And they enter and immediately are like, time to toss the bouquet. Jesse's like, they actually want to break with tradition and toss the bouquet now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that's why they're doing it now in the last 90 seconds before their time slot ends.
I was like, we didn't need this at all. They were like, no, single women, they're desperate.
This was so demoralizing.
In case you've forgotten. Yeah, I hated this.
Like, what a
place
to end.
They were like, all the single ladies, like, go on the dance floor. I haven't experienced a bouquet toss in years. And I remember them being horrifying at the time when everyone's like, yeah, get out there. And you're like, I wish not to.
Yeah.
And they're like, now fight over it.
And that's what they do.
That's what they do.
They literally tear the bouquet to shreds. Like, they're like,
I hated it.
Joan got some of it. Kathy got some roses. Like, four
Anna
women
got end up some.
Like, completely, they just like rip the bouquet open. And I'm like, this is a really degrading way to end this.
I was mad
show.
That this was the end. I was like, really? And our friend Jordan had predicted perhaps they were going to use the bouquet toss to announce Leslie's reign as next Golden Bachelorette. And I was like, ooh, interesting. No, it was more degrading than that because this served zero narrative purpose. It
was
just
that's something
like,
I could have gotten behind if it was just Teresa like tossing the bouquet to her and being like, oh, how convenient, because it turns out she's actually about to.
Exactly. I would have been fine with that. But no, also like, how dare you drag Leslie to this thing and not announce her as Golden Bachelorette? I'm angry.
Me too. I'm honestly, I do think that it's going to be hard for them to ever do Golden Bachelorette because the quality of men who are single in this age group just doesn't compare.
I do wonder if they're waiting until they know they have a decent number of men applying to like make any announcements.
I just feel, and the incentives are weird. Like, you're going to get maybe guys who want to be famous because I think it's easy
for older
men to date in a lot of ways. There are a lot more
100%
single older women.
There's also a lot of single older men who are like, well, now I date a woman 20 to 30 years younger than me.
Right.
That's my right.
And that makes the dating pool even more skewed. Yeah, I just hated having it end on this note. I thought the show tried throughout most of its run to show these women as like having
full
these
people.
Rich, full lives that were not dependent on having a partner, and they can still want love, and that's totally valid. But like, it ended on this note of like, they're desperate, fighting, over the right to have a man. And return to form for the show. There is somewhere a really funny photo of me during a bouquet toss at like Greg's cousin's wedding. And they like shoved me out on the dance floor and I'm sort of standing like 3 feet away from all the other women, kind of looking up without my arms up as the
bouquet. Wait, why were you
tossed.
There? Oh, because you and Greg weren't married yet?
No, yeah, this was years and years ago. We had been dating for like a year maybe.
Yeah, I also love that in the bouquet toss lore, it's like you're single if you're not married.
Well, because the bouquet is like who's going to get married next? Like right. He hasn't put a ring on it, right? Don't you want that proposal, girl?
I literally hate it so much.
And then Don't Stop Believin'
blah, blah.
Plays. Gary's okay. Like, my whole new outlook on life because of the show is Don't Stop Believin'. Cover band starts to play.
The cover band made me deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, they were
the singer was doing like a lot of really odd, like convulsive dance moves.
Yeah.
Is he having a stroke?
He wanted to make sure people noticed. And then he's like doing a thing where he jumps off the stage and he's like, Gary, catch me. And I'm like, okay.
Do less, man.
Do less. And then Jesse, speaking of do less, ends by saying that he needs to leave because he's about to be a dad. Emily, I'm coming. And I'm like,
she did not just go into
labor. I personally don't believe that she just went into labor.
0%. On that note, this brings us to the sputtering end of the Golden Wedding. We did live through all of this. I wish truly wish Gary and Teresa the best. I wish all of these women the best. I still adore all of them. But this was a mixed bag. Should we do some love to see it, hate to see it?
I think we should. I have a lot to say.
Let's start with love to see it. First, we love to see the return to La Quinta. This resort truly is so important to Bachelor history. Every major event needs to include a nod to La Quinta. This is hallowed ground.
Oh, yeah. Second only to, like, the actual Bachelor mansion, I think.
True.
Kathy... I loved having Kathy on the red carpet. It didn't, like, there were some bad moments, but I think you have to take that risk if you're going to have someone with Kathy's sort of raw authenticity and lack of media polish as a red carpet correspondent, and I think it was worth it. She was very chaotic. She got some good bits off, and it contrasted well with Charity and her very expert hosting poise, which I also really enjoyed. I thought they were a great team.
Totally agree. We loved to see Kathy and Teresa joking about the zip it moment and seemingly being really close friends after all of that drama. We just always love the friendship between these women. That to me is like the true enduring love story. And I'm glad we got some of that in this special.
Yeah, this special made me feel so much more the friendships that they made on the show and what a big part of it was. What a big part of the experience it was for all of them. And so that was a nice thing to come out of this. I also love to see some very honest and beautiful reflections from the adult children about how it feels to still be grieving their late parent while also being happy to see their living parent find a new partner and to welcome them into the family. And just the really difficult blend of emotions that brings up. And I thought they all handled it with a lot of honesty and goodwill, and it was really lovely to see.
I personally love to see Caitlin housing appetizers in the background during cocktail hour. Just a gal after my own heart.
Yes. I also loved Sandra's X-rated Denzel fantasies. Like, what on earth? I was not anticipating that. And that's where Sandra always comes in. She always does that step beyond what you think she's going to do. She takes it
exactly.
There. That's why we love her.
We also, of course, loved to see Susan's expert-level officiating. I mean, just give this woman a permanent contract for bachelor weddings, along with her own show or podcast or, like, whatever she wants. Just keep her around.
Yes. I was obsessed. I also did love to see Gary and Teresa's genuinely sweet and moving vows to each other. I love weddings. I love love as much as I was annoyed to have to watch this 2-hour long wedding special. I can't deny that I love weddings, and I was happy to see how they looked at each other and how they spoke about each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Gary, I always love to see how the couple looks at each other when there's the walk down the aisle, and we got like some really beautiful shots.
Yeah.
Of Gary tearing up seeing Teresa and also vice versa. And it was very sweet. Moving on to hate to see it. And then, no surprise, there's a lengthy list. Mostly we hated to see that this was 2 hours. Did we need 2 whole hours? We did not. This should have been a 1-hour special, a people spread, an email. I don't know. Not 2 hours.
I agree. I also hated to see the extremely overt Amazon product placement. I mean, at least try to make it either more subtle or less subtle. Like, it was in the uncanny valley. You either have to weave it in so that I genuinely can't even notice, just put an Amazon box on every table in the background, or you have to be like, this show is brought to you by Amazon. And that's it, because this was unsettling.
Deeply dystopian. We also, frankly, I'm sorry, hated to see Braden and Christina getting engaged on the golden carpet of the golden wedding. I like these two together. I hope that they have a very happy future relationship. But, like, there's a reason that this kind of thing is a faux pas. You don't get engaged at someone else's wedding. The moment felt very weird and rushed. And also, yeah, like Neil Lane's SponCon. No.
Yeah. I guess production really wanted a new relationship, since all of their Paradise season 9 engagements fell apart. They wanted an exciting, you had to be there live to see it moment. I understand that, but it left a bad taste in my mouth. And yeah, it really just like makes the relationship seem train wrecky to me. Like they're just on the upswing of something that's about to have a bad downswing. I hope that's not the case. I also hated to see them zooming in on Leslie, as you mentioned, Emma, during an extremely intense part of Gary's vows. Like, just keep the camera on the couple, you guys. Like, it feels like they brought her there to be a prop. Yeah.
I also personally really hated the side ruffle on the bridesmaid dresses. Just delete it. Okay.
We also hated to see that they did not make Leslie the Golden Bachelorette yet.
How dare they? This is crimes against humanity, okay?
That's what we want to see. I've discussed at length the reasons why I think it will never happen, but I'm also mad that they're not making it happen.
Just, they need to give her something.
I know. Or give her, like, a beautiful retirement house or something. Like,
I don't
know.
Cash. That
just
would be
just give her money.
Too.
Like, they need, they owe her something.
And on that note, that is it for this episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Emma Gray, Claire Fallon, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Talon Stradley. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like our show, remember to follow us, rate us 5 stars, leave a review, and of course, spread the word about Love to See It to all of your friends.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at claireandemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on TikTok at Love to See It Pod and on Instagram at claireandemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at claireandemma.substack.com. I'm also on social media at EmmaLadyRose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. We'll be back next week with a long-awaited news and gossip episode.
Stitcher.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Save big money on everything. Now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free. So you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.